Father, I pray that you would open our minds and hearts so we may hear from you. Let your spirit rebuild the low places in us. Illuminate your truth so we can continue to be agents of change and ambassadors for you in a world that is slowly dying from a loss of hope and rejection of your truth. Let us see the foundations of our faith in a new light, so we can let your light and life shine through us, so we can see the plan of redemption at work in the lives of everyone everywhere. Thank you for this time of fellowship together with you, with your word, with your people. We invite you in to be fully who you are for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So our scriptures for today, I have a number of them. I'm not going to read them all, but I'll reference them. So I'll give you the ones that I'll read, and I'll give you the ones that I'm going to reference. I'll go ahead and give you all the page numbers now as well. That way I can just kind of move through. I'll say them as well when we get started. But I'm going to come out of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. That's page 1383 in the Voice version that we use. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. I believe that's also on 1383. You know, that seems a little off. So we're right in the 1383 range. So Romans 8 and 29, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, page 1419, Romans 8 and 26, which is 1382, Acts 19, 1 through 7, page 1356, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, page 1458. These scriptures I'm just going to touch on, Joshua 1 and 8, James 5 and 16, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. And then we'll do John 16 and 33, page 13, 17. And lastly, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 10, page 14, 18. So that was Romans 10, 9 through 10, Romans 8 and 29, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, Romans 8 and 26, Acts 19, 1 through 7, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, Galatians 5 and 22 through 20, John 16 and 33, and 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 10. And hopefully you can still hear me okay. I'm getting an internet unstable notice. Okay. So we'll get started. Our Christian story is one of redemption and resiliency. We've been talking about spiritual maturity, which concerns the spiritual growth and development of each person to become more Christ-like in their words and actions. Salvation, baptism, prayer, and meditation on the Word of God are all foundational matters that connect to the overall story of redemption and resiliency. Redemption is the action of saving or being saved from sin, error, or evil. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, again in the Voice version, page 1383 or thereabout. It says, "So if you believe deep in your heart that God raised Jesus from the pit of death, and you voice your allegiance by confessing the truth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. Belief begins in the heart and leads to a life that's right with God. Confession departs from our lips and brings eternal salvation." And we've heard this scripture before. I'm pretty sure one of the other speakers touched on it earlier. In the NIV version, this is kind of what we were used to hearing. It says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Everything starts with one simple act, belief, which leads to one simple confession, Jesus is Lord. and from there you're saved. But those simple acts are just the beginning of a lifelong process of transformation. Every Christian should be daily undergoing transformation. Romans 8 and 29, also in the Voice Version, page 1383 or thereabout, it says, from the distant past, his eternal love reached into the future. You see, he knew those who would be his one day, and he chose them beforehand to be conformed to the image of his son, so that Jesus would be the firstborn of a new family of believers, all brothers and sisters. As for those he chose beforehand, he called them to a different destiny so that they would experience what it means to be made right with God and to share in his glory. Conformed on dictionary.com, it says to be in harmony or accord. Merriam-Webster says to be similar to or the same as something. And you all know how much I love Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says made to resemble, reduced to a likeness of, made agreeable to, or suited. In the Greek, this word is symorphos, properly conformed by sharing the same inner essence or identity or form, showing similar behavior from having the same essential nature. Properly conformed by sharing the same inner essence, identity, form, showing similar behavior from having the same essential nature. That's the Greek word for conformed or symorphos. At salvation, we begin to grow in the understanding that we share the same inner essence, nature, identity as Christ, and thereby have the ability to behave just as Christ behaved. Water baptism then becomes a next step in the transformation process. It is an outward sign of an inward change and is symbolic in showing that you are dead to sin and risen anew with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, we have heard this so many times before. Page 1419 in the Voice Version, again, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is united with the Anointed One, that person is a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. It's important to note a key part of this scripture. It says a new life has begun. What that means is you have access and the capacity for living a new life. But there is still work that must be done to see that new life manifested fully in your life. Some aspects of your new nature or inner essence or your new identity, it takes effect immediately. But there are a number of character building aspects of your new life that come slowly with experience. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is another step of transformation, which acknowledges the work of the Holy Spirit or Christ Spirit at work in your life. Some people display spirit baptism through speaking in tongues. We believe that Christians are given a heavenly language beyond any known language. If you haven't tapped into your heavenly language, all you have to do is ask and speak by faith. It may sound like gibberish, but Romans 8 and 26 in the Voice Version, page 1382, it says, a similar thing happens when we pray. We are weak and do not know how to pray, so the Spirit steps in and articulates prayers for us with groaning too profound for words. So when you think about gibberish, it's like, oh, well, the scripture right here tells us that our prayers can be sounds even, just, you know, hums and hows and whatever, you know, that's how it can be. In Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, this is in the Voice Version as well, page 1356. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul's overland journey brought him back to Ephesus. He encountered a group of about a dozen disciples there. Paul said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? John's disciples said, we've never heard about the Holy Spirit. And I like in some versions, it's like, we don't know of this Holy Spirit. It always makes me laugh when I see that. Paul said, well then, what kind of ceremonial washing through baptism did you receive? John's disciples said, we received the ritual cleansing of baptism that John taught. And Paul said, John taught the truth. that people should be baptized with renewed thinking and turn toward God. But he also taught that the people should believe in the one whose way he was preparing, that is Jesus the Anointed. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized, this time in the name of our Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them in the same way the original disciples experienced at Pentecost. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. Not every Christian believes in speaking in tongues, and that's fine. Some people believe that the tongues referenced in biblical passages are more like foreign languages that the speaker only knows through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Know that God can speak in any manner he chooses, and it's just a matter of you being open for him to use you to speak. In many cases, speaking in your heavenly language is reserved for your private prayer time, while foreign tongues would be for public worship and ministering to other members of the body of Christ, or even those that don't know Christ. Next, on the path of spiritual maturity, redemption, and identity transformation is prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool and weapon in our spiritual life. Prayer takes many forms. It can be long or short. Words aren't always necessary, as we saw in Romans 8 and 26. There's no magic formula for prayer. It's all about you and God communicating in a way that feels natural to you. The word encourages us to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18, in the Voice, is page 1458. It says, "Celebrate always, pray constantly, and give thanks to God no matter what circumstances you find yourself in. This is God's will for all of you in Jesus the Anointed." If prayer is cumbersome, how can we pray without ceasing? We still have lives that we have to live. The solution is for prayer to be something easy, something so simple that we can incorporate it seamlessly into our everyday life. Prayer is all about keeping our minds stayed on Christ as we live our life. If we commit to regularly turning our thoughts toward him, toward inviting his Spirit to help us throughout our day, toward thanksgiving and short prayers for others as they cross our path, then our prayer life will live up to 1 Thessalonians. And we can know that our prayers are powerful and effective, according to James 5, chapter 5, verse 16. The final aspect discussed in this part of our foundational series is that of studying and meditating on God's word. Joshua 1 and 8 promises success if we will meditate on God's word day and night. I'm always desirous to highlight the simplicity in what Christ is asking us to do. We may not be able to remember large passages of scripture, so start small. Start by finding a scripture or passage that's meaningful or encouraging to you, and work on repeating that scripture to yourself over and over again as often as you can. Before you know it, you will have memorized the scripture. You can also approach this creatively by finding a song based in the word and singing that song to yourself often. I know when I was going through a lot in my life, I would always sing that song, "Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me." And I mean, when I was having troubles, I would just be sitting sometimes at my computer working on my finances, just singing the song. And that was kind of what got me through. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills, but Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. And as you nourish yourself in the word, you invite the Holy Spirit to join you and enlighten you. It's all only as hard as we make it. I summarize God's theme of redemption with the words from one of Marvin Sapp's songs. He says, "He's mine and I'm his. Doesn't matter what I did. He only sees me for who I am." God sees us all as we really are. When he looks at us, he sees the inner nature of his son. And all we have to do is walk in that new identity in Christ, an identity of forgiveness, freedom, peace, love, all the other fruits of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. I am always asking God for a deeper understanding of the Christian faith. I want to have a greater revelation for when I teach, but more importantly, I genuinely want to understand God's intentions for his creation. As Christians, we must be firmly rooted in our faith. We must put our thinking caps on, as they would say when we were in school, and really grapple with how our faith connects to our everyday life and the world around us. Salvation and redemption is bigger than just being saved from hell. It's about living a full life on this earth here and now in preparation for an eternal life after we leave this earth. So as I listened to the other teachers over the last 4 weeks, I began to see that these foundational principles of salvation, baptism, prayer, and the study of and meditation on God's word go beyond the basics of what it means to be saved, but they are tools for living a resilient life. Resiliency is defined as, one, the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties or toughness. Two, an ability to recover from or adjust easily to adversity or change. Three, the ability of something to return to its original size and shape after being compressed or deformed. John 16 and 33, page 1317, I believe, in the voice, but I'm actually going to speak to it from the message. In the latter part of the Message Bible, this says, "I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I've conquered the world." Various translations say you will suffer, have tribulation and troubles, be in distress, be frustrated, be afflicted and persecuted. You would be in despair. In short, life won't be perfect, good, and happy all the time, no matter how perfect or good you are or think you are. At times, the normal course of life will throw things at you that will make you want to give up and believe that there's no hope for you, for your family, for your situation. There's no hope for the world. But this scripture tells us that there's a powerful capacity in you because you have the very nature and spirit of God on the inside. So no matter what comes at you, you can be brave, you can take heart, you can be courageous, unshakable, assured, deeply at peace, meaning you are resilient because Christ has overcome and given you victory. I am regularly reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 in the Voices, page 1418. It says, "But this beautiful treasure is contained in us, cracked pots made of earth and clay, so that the transcendent character of this power will be clearly seen as coming from God and not from us. We are cracked and chipped from our afflictions on all sides, but we are not crushed by them. We are bewildered at times, but we do not give in to despair. We are persecuted, but we have not been abandoned. We have been knocked down, but we are not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the reality of the brutal power, the brutal death and suffering of Jesus. As a result, his resurrection life rises and reveals his wondrous power in our bodies as well. This scripture shows us that with Christ and the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to walk in your destiny, no matter what gets in your way and tries to stop you or slow you down. So in understanding our foundations, we must remember redemption, but we also go a step further to see our capacity for resilience. Salvation opens the door to this new way of living, but baptism in the Spirit, prayer, and nourishing yourself with God's word is really the key to life as God intended. Practice of all of these principles and the ones that we'll discuss in future series, because we're not done with the foundations of our faith, but the ones that we'll discuss in future series, they are tools to prepare you, to prepare us for whatever comes our way in this life. We've only touched the surface of these beginning foundational principles. It's up to you, it's up to me, it's up to us together to commit our life to learning and growing in our faith beyond the basics of what's being taught every Sunday or Wednesday. Know that as you walk through life, we are here, Free Spirit Worship Church, and every one of its members is here, committed and learning and growing with you. So you are not alone. We're all in this together, but we have to do a lot of work on our own as well. And so as we are, you know, focused on these foundational principles, you may say, I know this already, but quite frankly, I've known this for a long time. I never would have imagined I would have said all the stuff that I just said to you. But it was because as I listened, the Holy Spirit revealed something different to me, and I saw it at a different level. It's not just about salvation from hell, but it's about every day, the word, every tool that God has given us is what gives us that strength, that inner strength and mental fortitude, spiritual fortitude to keep waking up every single day and moving forward no matter what we face. It's about resilience as well. Jesus wanted us to be resilient. He wanted us to know that we're going to take some punches, but when we take those punches, we're just going to get up and keep on going. So every day in life, you're going to get punched, you're going to get, you know, somebody's going to fuss at you, you're going to get mad, you're going to have all these things coming at you, but every day you can get up and keep going because of what the work that Christ has done for each and every one of us. And so that's my teaching for you for today. And if you just bow your head, we'll just pray. Father, we thank you for your great plan of salvation, of redemption and resiliency. Give us fresh eyes and a renewed heart to see ourselves, others, life as you see it. Give us the inspiration and strength to dive deeper to understand your plan and our role in it. Remind us that our old selves have been renewed, and each day let your renewed life transform us more and more until we manifest the complete image of your Son. An ambitious task, we know, but we also know that with your Holy Spirit, our helper, we can do anything. So let us be energized by your word today, and let us go away determined to walk in the fullness of the life that you intended. Amen.